Good morning. Good to see everybody here. As always, look like we got a full house tonight, or this morning. Let's see. So here we are on Omnipotence number 2 and 3. Moving along, I guess you could say. I'm still deciding on how to do the three O's here. They're not as broad topics as the other ones, but maybe we might, I don't know how we'll do this, lump all three of them together, but we're still in omnipotence, at least for a little bit. So it is a big topic, but I guess it depends on how in-depth you want to take it. And but anyways, we'll just keep trucking, so... Before we get going, let's take a minute of silent prayer, and that just simply means we can confess our sins to God the Father. That's a personal issue. That's not any other body's or any other person's business. That's between you and God the Father, and we can confess or acknowledge our faults and our flaws to Him, our sin, and He will then forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, we've been graced out by the wonderful gift that He's given us to walk with Him in the light. So what a blessing it is. So let's go ahead and take a minute and we'll pray and we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You for Your plan. Thank You for just the detail that You've given us to fully explore and never really get to the end of it while we're here. And we're just so grateful that we have this plan of Yours for us through Your Word. We just pray that we can continue to grow in grace and knowledge of it, stay faithful to You, and just continue down the path to maturity. And we just continue to pray for our people and our church family and also our extended family on our prayer list. We know that You realize each and every one of our needs, and we know You meet those needs in a perfect way and also in Your perfect timing. So we just pray for comfort to those people that are associated. And we just thank You for everything in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So on Wednesday, we made our way to Daniel's prayer. And if you remember, Daniel was praising God. He just got receipt of the interpretation of the king's dream. And he was basically worshiping or praising God in a prayer form. And we can see the reason why I picked this out is because I think it brings out some attributes of God, specifically the omnipotence of God. And the whole prayer is obviously good if you wanted to read that, because it brings out a lot of different aspects. But this particular piece, it brings out the controlling aspect of God and time. And, you know, time is a big deal in the believer's life. It's a big deal in everyone's life, right? So I think this is pertinent to us. I mean, I'm the guy that feels naked without my watch. If I don't put it on, you know, I feel like I forgot my cell phone or something. But I'm sure some of you are like that too, but time is one of those things that we're bound by. You know, we are bound by time and we follow time, and time is what makes the day go by, what resumes the next day and what gets us up in the morning and why we have to get up in the morning and so on. So time is of the essence, but it's good to know verses like this that God has the power to control these things. So we're grateful for that. But here we go. I'll start from the beginning of the prayer. And interestingly, this part of Daniel is in Aramaic, and it's a little bit different from Hebrew. There's not a lot of Aramaic in the Bible. I think there's about 200 verses in the book of Daniel. And then Ezra, I know, has I think about 60 something verses in it, and then maybe one verse in Jeremiah, but that's about it. So But that's okay. It won't stop us from knowing what the words mean. It just to give you a heads up that this is just a little bit different. Although they do have a lot of similarities to Hebrew as well. So here goes Daniel 2:19. It says, "Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, 'Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him.'" So I didn't really spend too much time here last time we went through this, but I just want to make a couple notes on it, at least a couple things we could take note of. Is the first one is to say that the first words out of Daniel's mouth were to bless God. To bless God. That's his first, the first feeling, his first emotion, soul response was to bless God. And, you know, as I was reading this, I thought, you know, that's interesting because this is really a picture of thanksgiving in Daniel's soul. To instantly jump back and say, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." And then he also says, "For wisdom and power belong to him." He's not saying I can find these things anywhere. He's saying they belong solely to God. And that's what he's really, I think, thankful for. He's worshiping the fact that, you know, God is who he is. And he's thankful for that. And you can really hear it when he blesses the name of God forever and ever. So, and this should remind us about ourselves too. You know, when, as we go through this life, there's so many things that happen that are answers, either answers to prayer or not answers to prayer, that God gets us through, gets us in a place, or gets us at least gracefully through where we're still intact in one piece. And I think we should also have a thanksgiving in our soul to say, "Thank you for getting me through the day." You know, if nothing else, getting me through the things that you experience in your life when it comes to adversity or just functioning day to day, as far as giving you the ability to be on this earth, to live, to breathe, and to walk and to glorify God. So, and he does things for us all the time, right? We can think of many different scenarios, but not to mention adversity. You know, a lot of times God will make adversity pleasant for us. And, you know, we may not note that, but it's a soul issue as well as an external issue. But we know that those two can be disconnected. The external can stay adverse and the internal can be content. And God is the one who gives us that ability to make it through, get through the circumstances while relying on his power to do that. So there is a power involved in all of these things, I think, as we go through this. We just have to bring them out. And here's verse 21. Daniel continues, says, "It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding." I think we should be pretty glad that somebody changes the times, right? It's good to know that things change. You can see what time means here. The word is edan, and it's a time or duration involving specific conditions. So for us, this is circumstances. This is just the circumstances that you find yourself in and the time involved in the day-to-day, hour-by-hour, week-by-week, year-by-year life circumstances that we find ourselves in. So as we go through this, you'll notice that it's hard not to talk about the sovereignty of God as we talk about his omnipotence and his ability to control things. We know that he's sovereign, he's in control, but without power backing that sovereignty, right? That's, they kind of go together in a way, but I think we can bring out the omnipotence here just to show his ability in doing so. The fact that he can change things at his disposal when he likes, when he sees fit to do so. And so, and remember, we said that his plan moves forward, we said this Wednesday, without interruption. So we as believers fit into the plan, and then we look to God for the change. You know, let's see this word change. It means to alter or to change. Makes sense? And then it says he changes the times here. The point this verse is making is whether it's long or short or doesn't matter. The point about this verse is that that's not the focus. The focus is that God is the one who changes certain circumstances in our lives. And he changes the length. He may stop, he may alter, he may adjust, he may shorten, he may lengthen. But see, we as human beings tend to focus on the change at all times. We pray for change. We look for change. We try to move, get out, alter. We try to get move on to the next adverse situation because we think it's been too long. But the idea behind this verse is that we should not be focused on the change. We have to apply this verse in a way that God is in full control of making the change happen and when that change actually happens. I'm not telling you not to pray. Prayer is a very, of course, important role in this, right? But we need to think about what we're praying for. We may need to change or alter our prayer. If we're just praying for change, and we've been praying about this change for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and there has been no change, maybe we should refocus and realize that God is the one who changes, and the timing is in His hands. So, and you know, at the same time, that is comforting to know, because it's not like it's by chance. It's not a random thing, because as we go through this, we think, okay, when is this going to end? Is it going to end here? Is it going to end here? God help me, please end this, right? But the reality is that it's not by chance. It's a very specific time frame that we're under that you know God has specific purposes for. Because if it's in His plan and nothing can alter or stop it, that means it must start and it must stop. And that includes that circumstance in your life, whatever it may be. You know, it may be good, it may be bad, it may be adverse, it could be testing. But the idea is we have to think about God's watch, right? He has the divine clock, you could say, and He's the one who watches it very carefully. And when it comes to the moment when He sees fit, when we have received the ultimate benefit from whatever He has for us in that situation, He will change the situation. So we're almost have to take this in humility as well to say, I still need something from this situation. There's something that you and I need from the situation that we're currently in, or otherwise God would change it. So there may be something that we need to do differently in our life. In other words, pass the test. There's always a test to be passed. We're always experiencing some test. 24/7, it doesn't matter. Except maybe when you sleep, you go to heaven for a little bit and come back when you wake up. But the idea is that we're always being tested. And so we have to get better at focusing on where or what God is doing within the circumstances. And, you know, that has application to you, not only you, but other people that you're involved with in your life. It goes, you know, it goes multiple directions, I think. So the real point here is that God is the one who has the ability or the power to change the periods of time. And so He's in charge, in full control of that change. Now, and to us, that is whatever you find yourself in. Now, we always want to be, of course, in tune with God's plan. That's part of this, right? We want to be growing spiritually. We want to make right decisions within the adversity or within the circumstance we find ourselves in. I really truly think that the scripture shows us that does alter the time. Because when you're thinking and making decisions off of the word of God and off of truth, God is working in your life. He's working through you, and that change may come sooner than later because of your ability to apply His Word to that situation. So it's never easy. No one said that, right? It's always a constant moving thing. Sometimes it's a brand new experience, and we do have to learn the truths necessary to apply. I think that's comes with every single thing we do. So you could say, instead of wasting our time focusing on the change, we need to focus on what God is really trying to do in order to make the change. What is He doing right now with that change, or with that circumstances in your, with those circumstances in your life? So, and we'll see coming up that there is a great prayer for wisdom, and Daniel talks a little bit about that here, so that we have a better idea of what we're going through, so that God gives us the wisdom, the ability to make the right decisions within the circumstances. That affects change. That affects change. When we ask God for the discernment, for the the truth that we need to understand what's happening in a better way, He gives us that. His Word tells us that He will give us, if we ask for the wisdom that we need, whatever we need, He will give this to us as far as discernment and His Word goes. So, and I think that's where our focus should be, because there's always a divine purpose in everything that you go through. We have a tendency to minimize that divine purpose. We just see what we're going through and, poor me, here I am, and this is unending. There's a divine purpose to it. It's a lot bigger and a lot bigger purpose than just what we're thinking most of the time. And that's why we need to pray for the wisdom, for the discernment to see which direction we're supposed to go. Because a lot of times we don't know. And, that's one of the good things about being human, is we have to lean on someone other than ourselves for guidance. And that guidance obviously has to, or should, come from God, right? So go to the right source. Think about Daniel here. He went through being taken as a captive, the Babylonian captivity, which ended up being 70 years of captivity. Do you think he realized when that first happened, when they took over Jerusalem? Do you think he knew that how long that was going to be? We don't know the future. We don't know what God is doing most of the time. We don't know all of His purposes, all of the reasons why. But at the same time, we know that He does. And so we can see, even in Daniel's situation, I'm thinking of specifically the, where he didn't eat the food that the king was wanted everyone to eat because of the dietary laws. Daniel was still true to the Word of God, even though the circumstances may not have, wanted him to, or seemed like he should have or could have, but he still did. And the end result of that is that all that adversity and what those things that seem negative, taken into captivity as a slave and made into a Chaldean, brainwashed supposedly. Well, Daniel wasn't brainwashed, because he stayed focused on the Word, in tune with the plan of God. And he, what happened was, he actually went from adversity to prosperity with working for the king, and got promoted, right? So God always has a good ending. He always has a good ending. We can apply that every day. God always has a good ending. But the bottom line is, we may not always see that ending. And that's okay. It doesn't matter. The point is that we have to trust and know that God is doing something for our benefit, and we have to pass the test in order to get to that next level of maturity and also capacity, right? We have to grow. And then God says, well, here's that benefit and here's that gain that you see at the end. And I think we see it all the way through. A lot of times we're trying to catch our breath sometimes. We can't really see it at times. But God gives us those glimpses of relief. He does. He knows that things can't stay pressed all the time, and take advantage of those breaks, those times of relief, because that's God sent. That's a change of time to re-energize yourself, to come to a different understanding, because we know it's going to come back. We know that the circumstances are going to shift back to where they were, and we're going to have to tighten up as far as our application goes. So take advantage of those, I guess you could call them downtimes. And I don't mean do nothing, right? So pray for wisdom is a good application from this. And you know, nothing lasts forever. I mean, we know that. Nothing in this life lasts forever. We could say, you know, sometimes we can convince ourselves that it does, that it lasts forever, because it's so hard or it's so difficult and we don't see the end. But the reality is that we have to apply and be relaxed and reliant on God changing the times. And that's what this verse is really bringing out. We don't have to know, right? We don't have to know the end or know what God is doing. That's not what is required of us. What's required of us is to trust, to have the faith necessary in God and what He is doing on our behalf and other people as well, right? He's working the circumstances. And remember, that plan is moving forward. No stopping, no hindering. And there's the benefit on the other end. Even when you look at our death and resurrection, you know, it's nothing but benefit. Not only here, but at the end as well, or the beginning, we could say. So I think we can all make the application that God's timing is always perfect. It's always perfect, especially when you think about His other attributes, like His omniscience. You know, He takes everything into account. We can only take so many things into account. We just see the most of the time the adverse parts of the testing. But God takes in all the accounts, all the nuances, the variances, the details, the other people that's in your life, and He takes those into consideration in this time. You know, that's the period that He takes into account. So there's a lot more detail that God infinitely knows exactly why the timing is the way it is. So there's a lot there. And, you know, sometimes, even though God doesn't require that we know, and many times we don't, sometimes you can look back and see, wow, that's one of the reasons why that happened the way it did. Sometimes God gives us insight into why something happened. You know, why did so-and-so leave the scene so quickly? Or why did this happen in my life so drastically? And sometimes we can see. But that's not always the case, as you know. So the funny thing is, we do tend to spend a lot of our time looking for change. As human beings, as just people, individuals, we do spend a lot of time looking for a better, a less hectic, less stressful, something that's, you know, the circumstance, maybe it's a little bit more relaxing or a little bit less painful, or you get the idea. So in a sense, we always are looking for the change. And that's where we need to kind of lock in on, because the verse is saying that God's in control of that. That shouldn't be our focus. If we're always looking for a change, our priorities are actually wrong. We could be making a lot better use of our time by, okay, God, You got that. I'm not worried about the change. I'm worried about what I need to do right now. You've obviously, if the time is ongoing, that means there's something of benefit that we still need to be in it for, right? So, and for unbelievers, this is all they have. They think in changes. Get away from the bad, go to the good. That's the mindset. Without God, there is nothing else to be better except to change the circumstance, change the time, change all on your own. See, this is all in your own power. We know that there's an absolute power who's in charge of ultimate change, and there is no happiness in changing. There is no happiness in changing the circumstances. That's why God keeps us in them, to show us that you can be happy within that. You can be happy within that, whatever you're in and however long you've been going through it. We just need to, it's all about perspective, right? It's not about getting our eyes on self. It's about getting our eyes on, you know, verses like this, that God is in complete control and He loves us. He takes our feelings and our pains into account, and He knows these things, and He knows also that we have to grow spiritually. Remember, God will keep you here as long as He wants to keep you here. That's not the issue. The issue is not a health issue. God has all that under control. He's got it. He's more concerned about the spiritual. We get so wrapped up in the physical all the time. In the physical, God is doing spiritual work in us through the physical. So we have to elevate that as well. Minimize the physical and maximize the spiritual. And then the verse says, and He changes the epochs. This word is more specifically referring to an appointed period, like a season, or maybe something that happens in intervals. In other words, it comes at the same time, every year, or maybe, you know, you have to do something every week and it's always there. He controls those too. We think, oh, well, this always happens. I always have to do this and I'm so tired of doing it. Guess what? It's controlled. It's already taken care of. Just because we think it'll never end doesn't mean that God doesn't take it into account. It's taken into account because He's the one who changes those. So, and we experience both of these, don't we? In circumstances, there's things we have to do. Each season is different. Every circumstance is different within those times and seasons. We experience things that do happen at intervals, I would say. That's accurate. And sometimes we look back and say, wow, that was a rough year. That was a rough week. That was a rough day. You know, that could be an epic. That could be a time frame where you could look at the days of the week as something you have to do every week. You have to go through Monday through Sunday, don't we? Yes. But God's in control of those. And He's the one who dictates and controls and has the power to change. And if it's still here, that means we have to embrace it as it is from God and not from something that is from man, right? He knew it and He took it into account. So don't get discouraged if there's something that you do continually, and it's starting to wear on you because, you know, you've been doing it for years and years and years, and you're not seeing the results that maybe you may want to see, or it's wearing on you mentally. It's wearing on you. It's becoming a burden. God knows about it. He's in control of those things, and there is a specific point of it. Remember, everything has a spiritual purpose. So don't take the spiritual aspect out, because we can easily, once we do that, then what do we revert to? Changing the time. We put the change in our hands and we say, I'm done. I'm going to move on. I'm going to change. And then, you know, a lot of time that results in bad decision after bad decision, and then all of a sudden there's a snowball effect that we wished we would have stayed in the plan of God, and we would have been 1,000 times better if we would have stayed not changing things. If we would have left things alone and allowed God to do His work, we would have been better for it on the other side. But hey, we learn and we grow, and I think we all do that. Sometimes we all, you know, backpedal like a crawfish just to get away from something. You know, you swim backwards as fast as you can because the time is not changing fast enough for us, and all of a sudden we decide that, you know, that this is it. But that's okay. God always is gracious. God always is gracious. He knows that we are capable of not making right decisions. Hello. Right? Hello. When have we not done that? Every day probably we make some bad decisions. So he's aware of that, and he allows us to get back on our feet and try again. So every time we look at a clock or a calendar, that's something that could be considered an epic, right? I think we need to apply what this verse is saying, that if God created time, he designed it specifically for us. Guess what? He also regulates and changes it on his personal interest. It's in God's interest and in your benefit, I would say, to do so. And David made this application. Look in Psalm 31:15. He says, "My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me." The first thing he says, he starts off, he says, "My times are in your hands." That's making an application that God changes. And then he prays for deliverance. But he knows at the same time, just because our desire is one thing, he still knows right off the bat. He said, "My times are in your hands." You know, that's relaxing. We can make a request and at the same time be relaxed in knowing if that request is no. David knew, I think he knew that, and he would understand if God did not deliver him or if he did, because there was something that he needed within that time. His times are in your hands. So David knew that timing was not by chance. It wasn't by chance. And he's making application. And time is a huge thing for us. That's what our life revolves around. So I'm definitely not telling you to ignore time, because then you'll be fired. You won't have a job anymore. And you can't say, "My pastor told me to not worry about time." You can. I'd talk to him. But that'd be kind of funny. Yeah, he said, "Don't worry about the time." No, we do need to still follow the time and get up when we need to get up and do things at a certain, there's deadlines to meet, right? But again, those are all very specifically designed for something that God is doing in your life, right? So everybody has obligations that are very specific around time. But God is just showing us that the focus is not on the time aspect as far as change goes. So take full advantage of it, because if we're not focused on the change, we have to be focused on what we're doing within whatever we're doing. We have to be focused on making the right and proper decisions within that circumstance. That's where our focus is, right? Because if we're making bad choices, then we're really going to want the time to change or to move on to the next thing, because adversity or discipline sets in. God comes in and tries to, move us along and get us back on track. I know we can see one reason. There's many, but here's one reason why we should patiently wait on God's timing. And this has to do with your capacity. As a believer, what you're capable of handling in this life, God is always trying to grow that in you. And this is, I think, brings out a part of that. This is the verse that we often quote, is what's funny about it. But we quote the second half of it. Here's the verse I want to show you. "Casting all your anxiety or cares on him, because he cares for you." That's a verse that we always quote, isn't it? It's a promise. We consider that a promise. And it's a good promise. I'm not saying don't quote it. But at the same time, the sentence actually starts in verse 6. Look, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Wow, once you bring in the context, it changes things up. See, this is saying that this is, at least in the context, the verse is referring to humility. Humility. It's talking about God wanting to do something in your life, but it has to be based on humility. So the time aspect here, see, the proper time, the exact time, is based on humility. humility. Many times we need a certain amount, a good dose of humility that we haven't achieved yet. We haven't got to the level on the humility meter that's gotten to that point where God wants to change the circumstance. We still need, you know, a certain amount of time to get to the level. And thank God, because we don't know exactly where that is. God does. He knows the attitude we need. He knows the thinking we need. He knows the amount of humility we need to move on, to move out of. And in this verse specifically, it's talking about exalting you, moving you to something better. And the word exalt here is a good word. It means to a place of advancement or honor or maybe promotion or something that is better as far as your spiritual life is concerned. And God always does that exactly perfect. He knows how to advance because of what's inside of you. He's actually doing it based on himself. Do you see that? He's doing it because of he knows you can think with his thoughts, with the bigger and the better. He can bless you with the bigger and the better. But until then, he needs to make sure that you have humility. We've got to have humility. You know, we've all had the boss with no humility. It's a great example of no capacity to lead people. And it's not fun necessarily to be under someone with no humility. How much easier is it to be under someone that is of the mindset that they're not always king over everything? God doesn't want, he needs you to glorify him in the circumstances, and that includes serving him. And we do that through people, believe it or not. We do that through people. That doesn't mean we always have to, you know, throw our rank around per se. God needs enough humility in us so we can be in that position and serve him in the right way. So there's a lot going on here, and this is at least one of the reasons why God is not changing right here. If we want to know why we're not moving, why we're not changing, here's one reason. Not enough humility. And humility is one of those things that's tricky, you know, because not only do we have to stay consistent, but you will have people test your humility. You will have people, you know, throw little right hooks at you to test whether you can handle that situation in humility or whether you react in self-righteousness. There's always only two sides of that coin, and we take one or the other. There really is no in-between there as far as how we respond to that person, right? It could be an attack. It could be a very personal attack. But at the same time, how do we respond? Do we look to God for the solution? You know, there's a lot of tear down that comes through that spiritually if we make the wrong decision. We're only harming ourselves, right? And not only that, but think about your witness to that person who you react to. You know, we're the ones that are supposed to be the example or setting the example, glorifying God, and all of a sudden we're reacting. So it's just not conducive to glorifying God. We don't have our, you know, our name tag of representing who we're representing on God, heaven, right? We're citizens of heaven. So here back to our verse, it says he removes kings and establishes kings. You see the word removes here. It means to pass on, to pass away, to take away, or to remove. So that's a good translation, to remove. The word is adah. And the word here means, you can kind of relate in a Greek sense, it's active voice and it's causative. So God is producing the action, or he's causing the action. So he's the one that's responsible for removing and establishing. Now think about that when you think about our circumstances right now. He's responsible for removing and establishing kings. Granted, we don't have kings, but we have presidents. We have leaders. We have people in charge, CEOs in very top positions that probably shouldn't be there, or should they? Maybe they should. If God is the one who establishes and removes. So, and as you well know, some of these people are not qualified. Some of these people have no moral, biblical standards at all. None. You can see that by their decisions, by the results, by what they vote on, by the bills they pass. I mean, it's very clear. It's not like it's something that's hidden. They may try to keep it hidden, but it can't be. And we can see through what they support, right, or don't support. But in those cases, this is a good verse to remember right here. This is a good verse to remember. Since God doesn't even have to wait for the end of a term to remove or establish even. We do have terms. We know that. But that's not God's terms. These are human terms that He is graciously sometimes allowing people to get to the end of. But He doesn't always have to. It's under His control, right? Goes back to the changing of times. So it also says that He establishes kings. And this word, see what it means? It means to arise, to set up, to establish. Now, this is interesting because we've all seen this process lately. And we've seen many dishonest things happen, illegal things happen, right? We feel like our system is corrupt now. Specifically, I guess you could say, the justice system, number one, the mail system, the, you know, the government in general, right? But is that where our focus should be? We've seen a lot of dishonest and even nefarious things take place. But according to this verse, that should not be where our focus is. That should not be where our focus is. Because why? According to this verse, God has established. God has established. Well, how does that work? Well, I don't know the details of how that works, but I know that who we have right now is exactly who we need. I know it sounds strange, but who we have now is exactly who we need because God has established. God has allowed that process to take place from people's evil, bad decisions, law-breaking decisions, and here we are. You know, the grace of God can allow bad decisions to take place just to glorify Him. And He will do that. And we will see God be glorified in this circumstance that we have in our country right now. He will, no doubt about it. He does it over and over and over again. So you know what? Be thankful for who you have. Because if you would have had anyone else, it wouldn't have been the right person that we need as a country. But you know what that tells us? It tells us, where are we at spiritually as a country? If that's exactly who we need at the time we need it, we have to think about things differently and be on the alert and say, okay, our country is not where we need to be spiritually. We're starting to pull and retract from God and look to man for solutions. So God provides us what we need. And you know, many times we see establishing, of course, we see that many times, but we see certain people in certain positions as a negative thing. But those things are meant to get you back on eventual track. Those things are meant to get you back. You know, we may go the long ways to get back. It may take whatever to get us back, but the ball is rolling. Remember, the plan doesn't stop. It doesn't just, you know, stop here. We're not on just a decline. Oh, no, our country's done. No. God has a plan, especially for growing positive believers like you. He protects us. And obviously, God's justice is in play here, right? So I think we should be more alert as to God's decisions as to allowing these things to happen. Because I think we can better pick up on our role within this situation. There's a lot of people out there who are in a place that are blinded. They're blinded. Satan is in, God has given Satan control of this world to a certain extent, right? And a lot of people have fallen for Satan's lies, for Satan's tactics, for Satan's, ways, you could say. And we see that. And the problem now is that they're not looking for anything else. We're in a weird time because, you know, usually when people get off track, they go back. But now we're off track and they're not looking anywhere else. They're okay with the blinding. They're okay with being where they are. And there's nothing that's really going to change that except what God is doing in His plan. It's moving forward. He will give everyone a fair and equal shot to make a right decision. That's a fact. So whether they do or not, you know, that can be a matter of prayer for people to return to the God who created them. And then here we go to the next part. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. So I think that's a good place to stop. And when we come back, we'll talk about this. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the comfort and understanding that you are the one who controls the time, changes the time, and also establishes and removes those that we see that are doing things that are not in agreement with your plan and with truth. And we're just so grateful for that because we can see it and you've given us your word to be able to understand it. So we thank you for all these things and we ask them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.